The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State Magazine. Today's Reading of Our State is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974, and underwriting our podcast for over 15 years. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. And now we get the chance to break the cover on a brand new issue of Our State, celebrating North Carolina. This one, of course, from March 2023. Our state is celebrating 90 years of publication since 1933. The theme this month is Ancient Wonders, the Secret Worlds of Cypress Groves and Swamplands by T. Edward Nickens. He is covering, and we'll see how much I get to, the Great Dismal Swamp, the Black River Preserve, Pettigrew State Park, and more. The dominant cover color is brownish yellow, which I guess makes it gold. It's kind of brown at the top and bright yellow in the middle and at the bottom, because we have a cypress tree here in a body of water. I don't know whether you'd call it a swamp or not, but it's in a body of water. And it has it's shown in stark profile here, so it looks basically black, or at best dark brown, against the yellowish sunset in the background. In fact, the sun is right behind a couple of branches there, and it's blasting through. But that's just before it sets below the horizon in the distance. And the water is fairly calm, just small ripples, and the water is reflecting behind the tree quite a bit of that sunlight, and a mist is rising off of the water, and therefore that is blurring the trees that are in the background on the other side of this little body of water. And the sky appears to be just a kind of a bronze color. So it's quite an interesting photograph. The photographer must have waited quite a long time to get that one. Well, before we start on our pictorial, I suggest that we do the From Elizabeth column, as we always do on the first reading of the month, by Elizabeth Hudson, Editor-in-Chief. Stars on the Water. You could come through Plymouth, as I have done, on North Carolina Highway 64, and stop for a biscuit at Bojangles and get right back on the highway to wherever, and you might think that you've seen Plymouth. But if you don't veer north toward Water Street, toward the Roanoke River, here's what you'll miss. You'll miss the mid-century clock below the sign for Stella's Cafe that was installed by Leggett Jewelers in 1946, a fitting timepiece for a town that's retained its historic character. You'll miss the azure blue Vespa scooter parked outside Bistro 116, a European-inspired restaurant run by Daniel and Sylvie Bettigna, and you'll miss the fresh breads and buttery croissants that Sylvie, who speaks with a soft French accent, bakes every day. You will miss the Riverview Cafe, housed in the old B&W grocery building, where owner Lou Mannering will make you a grilled pimento cheese with a side of homemade sweet potato. And after you eat, you can curl up, Lou encourages it, on one of the overstuffed couches in front of the picture window that overlooks the Roanoke River. What else? You'll miss the 9-foot chainsaw-carved wooden bear climbing into the upper-story window at Bearology, the North Carolina Black Bear Discovery Center, and the aluminum silhouette of a mama bear and her cubs loping along the roof of the Plymouth Welcome Center. Those bears were put in place by Tom Harrison, a local who founded the North Carolina Black Bear Festival. Harrison knows his bears, and he also knows the best place to drop a kayak into the Roanoke River. McKee's Marina for the half-mile paddle to Swan Bay at the mouth of the Albemarle Sound. A smooth and easy glide on this calm water brings you to the crown jewel, the centerpiece of Plymouth, a place you surely would have missed if you hadn't gotten off the highway, a stand of centuries-old bald cypress trees, rooted in this spot for ages amid an ever-flowing river. Harrison calls this pristine place God's garden growing in Albemarle Sound. And out here, where the only sound is the metronome of the paddle and the occasional splash of a striped bass in these shallows, it's as meditative a place as I've seen. I can only imagine the stories that these cypress trees could tell of bootleggers and fishermen. Back on the land, the Maritime Museum, housed in an old automobile dealership and filled with artifacts from the town's history, contains one of those stories, a portion of a dugout canoe, 2,850 years old, and made from a single bald cypress. I could spend all day out here, floating on the water, mingling with those North Carolina relics. These trees with their exposed knees and slender limbs raised upward, stretching outward, as if they're pointed, as if they're dancing. One tree in particular pulled me forward, the one that Harrison has affectionately named Carmen Miranda, the one gracing the cover of this magazine. The resemblance is there, sure enough, in the leafy fringes sprouting on top, one limb arm up, as if she's snapping her fingers as she's dancing. Dancing! A samba of the sound. What personality, what joyful celebration of nature, of life. If you hadn't stopped, if you hadn't made your way toward the water, just think of all you might have missed, all those shining stars, so worthy of the applause. And now it's time for me to take on the photo essay, to audio describe it, as it were. Beauty in the backwaters. In the quiet swamps of the coastal plain, paddlers find peace. Elusive creatures make their homes, and ancient cypresses stand in a landscape that is anything but. Written by T. Edward Nickens. For some reason, the photographer is not credited, but here's another beautiful picture. It's the one that our cover is basically taken from. I think it's the same tree, just taken at a little bit later in the day, perhaps, or a different angle. It says, at Swan Bay, where the Roanoke River empties into Albemarle Sound, bald cypresses seem to sprout straight from the water. And indeed they do. The base of the bald cypress is like a funnel. That is, it fans out from some distance above the water. I don't know, 4 or 5 feet maybe. And it gets very wide at the base as all of the roots of the tree kind of expand and join each other. The rest of the tree, well, it's kind of scraggly. It's not something you'd really want in your front yard, but it is a work of art out here in the water. A world between the great dismal swamp. It seems an oddity. A slick, straight, watery path through a wilderness So wreathed in wild grape and trumpet creeper, so canopied with soaring cypress and gum, so swampy and mucky that simply getting from one side to the other was once considered a nearly impossible feat. Before the canal opened in 1805, it took 12 years of harrowing labor by enslaved workers to muck out 22 miles through the Great Dismal Swamp, effectively stitching together North Carolina's Albemarle Sound and Virginia's lower Chesapeake Bay. Now, each spring, hundreds of kayakers and canoeists launch into the Dismal Swamp Canal for the Paddle for the Border event. They dip their paddles into the amber-hued and tannin-stained water and trace the ghosts of travelers' pasts. Runaways fleeing slavery, loggers floating massive juniper and cypress timbers down remote waterways, market hunters shipping ducks and geese to Norfolk, Virginia, and beyond. Once a place of gloom and despair, the Great Dismal Swamp today reveals its wonders to those daring or fun-loving enough to paddle their way through history. Full-page picture on the left. Each spring, hundreds of paddlers, including last year, Lolita Bass, her daughter Nikki, and Nikki's dog Forrest, travel 7.5 miles on the Dismal Swamp's canal to the Virginia state line. So here is a shot from the rear of, probably 15 or so. I suppose it's 20 or 25 if we count what's really hard to see in the distance of paddlers in their I guess they're really kayaks. They're kind of like canoes, but these are inflatable kayaks, so they're made of rubber. And they all have white life preservers, of course, and they have a double paddle. You dip once on the right, dip on the left, and if you need a turn, you take two dips on one side or whatever. Some of the paddlers are going at it alone. Some of them are going with twosome, and here's the one with the dog. And yes, he has a life preserver on, along with his owners. And they're a threesome, if you will. But the dog is not doing the dog paddle. All of the paddlers, responsibly, have hats on. And here's a close-up picture. It says, "Welcome to Virginia." So that's what joined the two states there. Ancient Realms, the Black River Preserve. The trees were here when Carolina parakeets, now extinct, thronged the cypress swamps. When the Christ Child was born, when the Magna Carta was issued, deep in the blackwater swamps of the Black River, they still stand. Sentinels to history and living proof of the power of conservation. For about 40 years, a famed tree in the remote, Three Sisters Swamp of the Black River, was heralded as the patriarch of this ancient old-growth forest after BLK 69, also known as Methuselah, was tree-ring dated to 372 AD in the 1980s. More recently, two trees have been discovered that are hundreds of years older, soaring, weathered old soldiers at least 2,600 and 2,000 years old. Close-up picture of the base of the cypress here. Bald cypresses, some more than 2,000 years old, preside over a 10,000-acre preserve stewarded by the Nature Conservancy. And that's a favorite charity of mine, by the way. And it says, North Carolina icons, paddle along the Black River to Three Sisters Swamp and meet Methuselah in the newest installment of our NC Icons video series at ourstate.com/NC Icons. So this picture is taken pretty close to the base of one of these trees. Now, they aren't saying whether it's one of the really old ones or not, but you can see how it fans out, in this case, probably starting about 10 feet off the surface of the water. And you can, what you can see there is that it's all the roots. They are extending down, and but they've grown into each other sideways in many cases, and yet there's breaks in the roots, and you can see into a central hollow of the tree. This particular tree is pretty close to the shore, but there are other cypresses in the background which are also near the shore and in the water. Overleaf knees, or rather trees with knees, I got it backwards there, the Black River Preserve. They rise from the primordial gloom, like weathered stalagmites, knobs and contorted buttresses that adorn the swamp forest floor. But cypress knees are far more than a Gothic ornamentation to the deep swamps of the Black River. Do they help the trees breathe in such a morass, collect nutrients, or perhaps they strengthen the bases of old trees in flood-prone basins, helping them cling, as one earlier traveler wrote, to the quaking earth with the grasp of Hercules. The picture says the knobby knees at the base of bald cypresses are actually growths on top of the tree's shallow horizontal roots and may protrude several feet out of the water. And this is an odd one. It seems to come up and turn around and go back down again. Close up of one of them. Dreamland, Jamesville. It's as close as you'll ever get to Middle Earth, the fictional realm of J.R.R. Tolkien's and Hollywood's impassioned imagination. Nearly a dozen camping platforms are tucked among the trees and over the waters of the Roanoke River, the largest intact hardwood bottomland forest remaining in the Mid-Atlantic. You can only arrive by boat. You'll have to bring everything with you, tent and sleeping bag, stove and food and water. You will see cathedrals of forest reflected in mirrors of dark water. You'll smell the pungent fragrance of a living wilderness and touch the furrowed bark of your only neighbors. And you will hear something that perhaps you haven't heard in a very long time, your own heartbeat. Now, this is interesting because deep in the forest, we have some man-made objects. It says the connected beaver tail and beaver lodge camping platforms, named after the local furry residents on the upper Deadwater Creek, can be reached only by boat. So we've got a little dock to which somebody has docked a canoe, and you walk down the dock, and there's a little step up to a platform, and then that platform is one step up to a larger platform, and on that platform they have put a tent. I don't know that I've ever seen a tent on a dock, if you will, but that's what we have here. Don't think there's any electricity out there. And in the swamp beside them, we see all of these beautiful trees with their broad bases. Looks like a series of roots sticking down into the water, and they are all in the water. A Walk in the Woods, Alligator River National Wildlife Refuge. Take it slow. There aren't many trails like this one. A half-mile-long footpath tunneling through the Alligator River National Wildlife Refuge's Sanctum Sanctorum. Here, an earthen path, there a raised boardwalk, the Sandy Ridge Trail plumbs one of the most remote and untrammeled landscapes in eastern North Carolina. Here are the remains of a long-gone logging town, now a refuge for a tiny carnivorous sundews and some of the largest black bears on the planet. Hike the trail with your eyes wide open. In the spring and early summer, prothonotary warblers flit along Milltail Creek. Watch for herons and egrets from the bridge over Sandy Ridge Gut. And in the soft light of the early dawn or dusk, listen for the howls of endangered red wolves, a rare call of the eastern North Carolina wilds. There's a close-up here of the owl staring straight at the photographer. It's kind of brownish, gray feathers and a rim surrounding an inner circle of lighter feathers, and then the dark eyes, and between the dark eyes, a sharp, curved yellow beak, and he's standing on a thick branch with claws that you do not want to touch you. And then there's a picture of a little walkway across a creek, and here is a photographer in the woods with a very long lens, very long. I'd say it's almost, I'd say 30 inches long. He's aiming it up into one of the trees in a heavily evergreen-encrusted area, but off of a trail that's well-traveled. And it says, in Dare County, the Sandy Ridge Trail makes the Alligator River National Wildlife Refuge home to barred owls, which is what I was talking about, and many other species accessible to visitors like Tim Faulkner, who, of course, would be the person pictured here. Here's a two-page spread of an alligator. Wild wetlands. Alligator River National Wildlife Refuge. Percosan. Early Europeans struggled with how to spell the old Algonquin native term that meant swamp on a hill. But ultimately, Percosan, P-O-C-O-S-I-N, won the day. Such a landscape is just as tangled as its etymology. Underlain by peat, boggy, and buggy, Percosans compose much of the Alligator River National Wildlife Refuge. Here, largely undisturbed, creatures find sanctuary in one of the most inhospitable, or so it seems to humans at least, habitats in North Carolina. Here's the picture of the alligator. I'll read the caption first. American alligators in the swamps of North Carolina are typically smaller than the ones further south, but males can still grow up to 13 feet and weigh 500 pounds or more. Females rarely surpass 9 feet and 200 pounds. This particular alligator is perched atop a dead log, and its claws are resting on a place where the bark has been scraped away, perhaps to get a little extra hold. And it has come up out of the water through some green plants, because the green plants are now his sweater of sorts. Just on the back, between the front legs and the back legs, he has a coat of green around him. And he has his mouth open, and we can imagine that that one eye we see is staring directly at us and saying, "Don't you dare come any closer." Creatures among us. Swamps and bogs and fens and wetlands. In eastern North Carolina, these places are more than a home to some of our wildest creatures. They're living laboratories for research and study. How do black bears coexist with living highways in the region? How will a changing climate affect alligators, which are already at the extreme northern end of their range? And critically, how can people learn to live with apex predators such as the imperiled red wolf? In some of the state's remotest regions, far from civilization, conservation is still requiring a willing partnership between humans and wildlife. On the left, the caption first, because it's an interesting picture. Some of the largest black bears in the world are found in eastern North Carolina in places like the Percosan Lakes National Wildlife Refuge. Other predators like alligators and red wolves on the opposite page make their homes in the Alligator River National Park. Well, this black bear is very large. We only see the front half of him. He definitely knows we are here. He is looking straight at us. The sun is on his face. His back is in shade. And he obviously was just taking a drink when suddenly became aware of an interloper, because there are just streams of water pouring off of the fur on his neck down to the water below. His mouth is closed, but I think he's giving a warning look that says it opens quite wide. Thank you very much. And on the right, we have an alligator. Just the eyes and nose are out of the water. And because it's very still, they are reflected perfectly in the photograph here. We could turn it upside down and only have a slight distortion of the picture. Very interesting picture. And down below, a couple of wolves who have responded to the presence of the photographer. And they're trying to see whether, this of course is speculation, whether it's something to fear or something that should fear them. Strength in numbers, the Pettigrew State Park, shrouded in fern, swathed in Spanish moss, rising from still waters, the forests of Pettigrew State Park seem at once time-worn and timeless. There are pawpaw and persimmon and tulip poplar, Atlantic white cedar and eastern red cedar and black holly and sweet gum, and both of the Taxodiaceae, bald cyrus and its short-needled kin, pond cyrus, the old-growth trees stand tall and dense, each one a microhabitat that supports migrating warblers and hawks on the hunt, and untold ants and beetles and caterpillars, wet and briary, thick as bristles on a brush. They also seem to beckon to the intrepid, but the only way in may be through your imagination. And this is a very thick forest. It's all swampy area, so you've got those legs, if you will, of the cypress and that cone shape hanging down, and there's a close-up of them. And lastly, and it's a good thing because we're just about to end up here, we have Wonders of the Water at the Pettigrew State Park. The second largest natural lake in the state, Lake Phelps, holds deep secrets in its shallow, clean waters. There, sequestered through the ages, lie some 30 ancient dugout canoes. They're as long as 37 feet and as old as 4,400 years. They speak of the centuries-long old ties between humans and these waters. And while most people pilgrimage to Lake Phelps today for recreation and renewal, they live in a state that the region's original human habitats recognized, nourished in mind, body, and spirit by the melding of eastern North Carolina woods and waters. Caption says, mostly fed by rainfall, Lake Phelps measures just 4.5 feet deep on average, making its shores, including Cypress Point Access, the perfect place for cypresses to grow. We're looking out across a dock here against flat water and a beautiful cloudy sky. And that, my friends, is all the time we have for today's episode of Our State Magazine. I hope you enjoyed it and that you'll be sure to listen next time. I am Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974. The site of, rather the content of this program, is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Our State Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call the studios, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.